For those who may not know, we just came from the first MDiv study tour and the first evangelistic study tour, and we went to Communist Cuba. And you may ask, why Cuba? A few reasons is that Communist Cuba, who hate Christians, also need about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Secondly, is because Cubans and the SDA Church in Cuba can teach us a thing or two about evangelism.
Amen.
And the third reason is because not so many evangelists can actually go there often, so we chose to go to a place that not everybody can go on a normal basis. We decided to go there. Now, today, as we look back, and after taking a total of 4 flights and traveling more than 4,000 miles and delivering more than 1,000 pounds of luggage, and after riding countless buses and minivans and taxis, and after preaching the gospel in 5 locations to a full house every night, we can say, by the grace of God, mission accomplished.
Amen.
And to God be the glory.
Amen.
And we say, but why? Well, why did a group of 25 students plus sponsors go on the spring break to a place that is not very comfortable at times? Why wouldn't you rather stay at home and enjoy time with your family? The reason is because, number one, the seminary believes in evangelism and in training our students for his work.
Yeah.
The second reason is because our seminarians believe in commitment, believe in preaching, believe in sharing the word of God, and that's why they wanted to make a difference during these 10 days during the spring break. Also, because our students submitted themselves to Jesus Christ during these 10 days.
Amen.
They said, Lord, this is not my work, this is yours. We submit to you. Please do something special during these 10 days. And they used the words in Job 22:21 that says, submit to God and you will have peace. Then things will go well with you.
Amen.
Now, we had many challenges, but at the end, things went well for us. God called these missionaries to go, and they went with no hesitation, and they were blessed in ways that only eternity will tell. For us, it was like a shot in the arm, a revival of sorts. Now, the study tour was not short of miracles. There were many miracles, and one of those miracles started right here, chapel, a few weeks ago, when we made an appeal for those of you who wanted to participate with bicycles. And we said, hey, give whatever you can, $5, $10. If we can raise a few bicycles on behalf of the seminary, that'll be great. But I have news for you. After that chapel, we raised almost $2,000 for bicycles right here in the seminary.
Amen.
That is 16 bicycles for Bible workers. And in total, we were able to bring 56 bicycles.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
Amen.
But there in Cuba, the miracles continued. One night, John Remitera was preaching, and then the lights went out. Without able to see the Bible or his notes, he relied on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit told him what to say, and that night, many people gave their hearts to Jesus, literally in the dark.
Yes.
From darkness to light. Then Pierre, one day, he was, as many of us did, going door to door. And in one of the homes, he prayed for one lady and invited her to go to the evening meeting. And then a neighbor overheard the prayer. And the neighbor happened to be a santera, which is a spiritist.
Mm.
And then the neighbor was convicted to go that night to the church.
Yeah.
And she went. And she said, I need to change my ways.
Yes.
Miracles continue happening. And I just tell you the last one for now. One day, Ignacio was interpreting to Ilho, As you know, Il-ho speaks, besides English, he speaks also Korean. But he was interpreting for him, he was speaking English. But all of a sudden, Il-ho started to speak in Korean. Now, how do you interpret Korean if you don't know Korean? So Ignacio relied on the Spirit, yes, and he started interpreting what the Spirit told him. Yes. At the end, Ignacio went to Il-ho and said, Il-ho, did you know that you were speaking in Korean? And Il-ho says, yes. And did you know that you interpreted exactly what I said? The miracles were kept by a baptism on last Sabbath of about 100 people. Amen. And 100 more are being ready for baptism in the future. Amen. I don't want to tell you the rest of the miracles. I want the participants to tell you the rest of the miracles. So I'm going to invite all of the study team to come here forward, and we're going to share with you a little bit more. Sure. And while they settle, Mary will get ready to sing for us a special music. And when Mary finishes her music, we will continue with our testimonies.
sleepless nights, or what it takes to know you're near, and what if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can satisfy. And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storm, the hardest times, are your mercies in disguise?
There in Cuba, we were divided in five evangelistic teams, each team of about five. So each team has the opportunity to speak a few minutes, and they have chosen the best testimonies for now. So let's start with group number one, team number one.
Good morning to all. There were many miracles. Dr. Ortiz told us to tell about the miracles. But for me, we had at least 35 miracles, because when a person decides to leave their old ways and decides for baptism, that's a miracle. And in our church, Marianao, we had the privilege of witnessing 35 people going down the waters. And it was very beautiful. Another miracle is the fact that God was able to use broken people like us and sinful people like us with so many problems and issues. But we allowed God, we prayed in the beginning, you know, use us, you know our weaknesses, but God was able to bring strength out of our weaknesses. So that's another miracle. But the particular miracle that I think we chose to share was, I don't remember exactly the day that it took place. I think it was a Monday or a Wednesday, not sure, but a baptism had to take place, but the water had overheated, so it was burning hot. And pastor was there about to go in the waters, and there was that issue. And over there, perhaps they will tell more stories. They pray for anything. They have faith that blows your mind, because it makes you feel ashamed of your own faith. And they just prayed. They prayed, and when the pastor went inside the waters, the water was back to normal. So those are things that fill our hearts. That's just glimpses of what we experience. But I don't want to take all the time. I don't know if anybody in my group wants to say something.
Jennifer. Yes. Both myself, Melinda, and Mary, we had the opportunity to work with the children in this church, and it was truly a blessing. We learned a lot from these children. We went with the mindset, let's teach these children something, and we got out saying, wow, we learned so much from them. We had a group of about 80 children, and we kept asking them to bring their friends, but we didn't think they would actually do it, but they bought a lot of their friends, and then we got overwhelmed with so many children. But God gave us the strength. We had the opportunity to teach them an English song, and our last Sabbath there, they were able to sing it in front of the whole church. So we were really proud of them. And an experience that stand out was this little girl of 9 years old, and we remember her very well. She would always have this enthusiasm, but one thing that stand out was she would say, I want to preach, I want to sing. And for a 9 year old to have that, she was kind of sad because she didn't have that opportunity to preach and sing as often as she wanted. And to that was amazing to us, because sometimes when we're asked, hey, can you preach or can you say, we kind of say no and we're kind of tired. But this little girl, she wanted to be out there. She wanted to preach and she wanted to sing. And so we were quite amazed how these children really, really wanted to give their all to Jesus. And we had about seven children that got baptized that Saturday as well.
Amen. Thank you much. Let's go to group number two. Here.
Well, my team is Omar, Stanley, Pierre, Juan, and me, Eliezer. We work in the east side of La Habana. It's a center of the Spiritism, the high place with temples and 1800s building for Satan. And we had a problem in my team, but God helped us a lot.
Amen.
We are different, but each of my members are a leader. I don't repeat two times the things to do. They have ideas, do it. We preach 23 sermons in our team in different places. Stanley talked with the doctors in the hospitals. Pierre prayed one time, and he was praying when the neighbor hear the prayer and come and say, "Can you pray for me too?" The next night, that person was in the church. Omar was the evangelist in the nights, Stanley in the mornings. Juan made the translation for us. God helped us a lot. And like Stanley say, application, application, application. Right? Don't stop the Holy Spirit. If you have something in your hand, use it. The Cubans have very few tools,
yes.
And they make the work. Yes.
I didn't realize that our evangelist Omar was actually in a battlefield until 2 o'clock in the morning when I heard the beating of drums and the shouting of men. And I woke up, I was sleeping on a porch with Juan, and I was stealing down the stairs, and Juan accosted me and said, "Do you know what you're going into?" And then I said, "Well, I just want to go to see what the noise is." And he said, "I'm going to come with you." We walked up the street, and there was a temple where there were about 100 or 200 men that were dancing, shouting chants, dressed all in white, and beating drums. Juan asked them for me, "Can I come and videotape it?" And they just simply said, "We cannot guarantee you your safety, because these men are known throughout Cuba to kill men on the spot if they are offended." Needless to say, I no longer wanted to take the tape. But we learned from there that we were in a battlefield, as we just described, where the spiritualism, it was a stronghold of spiritualism, where the temple priests from African religions had gathered, and they still were being worshipped there. On the way down from that temple, the sun had come up. We had stayed there for quite a while. And there was an old lady that was sitting next to our church. She was dressed in a very strange garb, and there was figurines around her house. And curiously, I went to her house, and then Juan asked me again, "Do you know what you're getting into?" And I said, "Well, I just want to take pictures." And she beckoned me to come on in. And there when I went in, I saw a picture of a black Madonna, and then there were other strange pictures. And then she began to tell me that she is a person that people come to ask their future and to tell their destiny. And that evening, she was to have a very large ceremony around her house. It just so happened to be the next day that we would have our baptisms. So I discovered that we were doing more than just simply preaching vain sermons. We were actually battling against strongholds and fighting against demons and demon worshipers, that we were up to something much bigger than just a casual affair. And so that was one of the experiences that stood out to me.
One of the biggest miracles is that my family lives on the other side of the island.
Yes.
And Dr. Ortiz took us to a tour in the center of the city.
Yes.
And I was with Gustavo when I hear somebody familiar playing the guitar. And I say, "That sounds like my brother's voice."
Mercy.
So I come closer, and I went to the place, and I say, "Hey, what are you doing here, man?" And then he said to me, "You know, I am making money because there is no work, because the the tsunami or the hurricane destroyed our city, so he had to come to Havana that weekend to make money and go back to Santiago. So I say, listen, we are visiting, and I want to invite you to the church. And always my prayer was, Lord, could it be that my brother one day will give his life to Christ? Because he had been attending church for more than 20 years since I give my life to Christ. He go every Sabbath, but he never make a decision. So he say, okay, I will come. And something got a hold on him, because when Omar preached, it was so powerful that he said to me on the spot, I think it's about time. And he gave his life to Christ, and he was baptized that Sabbath morning, and it was a celebration in my heart, because I actually can see that God do work miracles. It was no coincidence that God sent him to that particular place that we went that day. It was no coincidence that I hear his voice. And it was no coincidence that I say, listen, come to church. We come to do this and that. Because he don't even knew where I was. He was told that I will be coming to Cuba. But that particular day, we could have go to Capitol as we did. But we went so many places. And after we went so many places, it was the right time when we went to that particular place, and he was at that particular moment playing the guitar. Amen. To me, it's God's way to guide destiny for salvation. So I am happy for that, and I can testify that this tour to Cuba was a transforming experience.
Number three.
La esperanza es Jesús.
Amen.
Jesus is the hope. And our hope, Jesus Christ, demonstrated his power to transform seemingly hopeless lives in Cuba. I was an adulteress, she said. By adulteress, she meant not that she was unfaithful to her husband, but that she was unfaithful to her God through the systematic practice of idol worship. But the power of Jesus Christ gave her hope to cast out the 7 demonic idols that she used to worship in her home. Her once adulterous heart was wed to Jesus Christ in the presence of the saints as she shouted, Gloria, Gloria a Dios. Another woman was faithful to her family, but her husband no longer wanted to live with her and wrote her a letter of separation. As she found hope in Jesus Christ, the church questioned if she could be baptized while living apart from her husband without being divorced. She had a problem with that because she still held on to the hope that God could restore her marriage. The church baptized her and her son without taking that hope away. One woman, a guard in the Cuban military, told us how she was ready to commit suicide after her house collapsed and she had to move. But she found the hope she needed to go on living when Jesus Christ came into her life. She and her husband gave their lives to him. Another woman had lost hope when her son died 2 years ago. He was 22 years old. And she didn't understand how God could allow this to happen. We gave a rushed explanation of the great controversy theme and God's original plan for his creation, but she was still on the fence. That Sabbath, God called on David Penno to preach at Cerro Church, and although he was unaware of her story of lost hope, he preached a message on why God allows suffering. It was the message of restored hope that she needed to hear that day. And she gave her life to Christ. La esperanza es Jesús.
Amen.
Our only hope is Jesus Christ.
Amen. What Jason just spoke about is a number of the folks that gave their life to Jesus in our church in Cerro. Jesse was a speaker Dr. Penner came one Sabbath and also spoke. But many people just gave their life to Jesus, and it was so amazing because what we saw was how people in Cuba take God's word literal. If God says he's going to do it, they believe he's going to do it. One night we were traveling home, and you'll notice the cars, most of those cars are from the 1940s, 1950s, and the accelerator cable broke. And the pastor pulled over, we all got out, and his wife walked to the corner of the street. And I jokingly said to her, you know what, I guess we're going to have to sleep in the car tonight. And she said, no, Cuba, this place is bad. And then I turned my back, and then by the time I turned around, I noticed that she was praying. She stopped right there, and she started to pray. And as she opened her eyes, she said to me, Gervon, is that the car? What had happened is that we were the second to last to leave church that night. And another vehicle was there, but we had no guarantee that they would drive that way or that we would see them. And then they didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have a number to call anyone. And when she saw the car, she started rejoicing. And what amazed me is this. If I'm here in America and my car breaks down, I have my AAA card. My natural tendency is not to pray or anything like that. I'll just call a friend, call AAA or something. And then they took a bicycle cable, attached it to the lever in the car, found a hole, pushed it through that hole, and these are manual transmission cars. So the pastor had to use his right hand as the accelerator, his left foot as a gas, ease off the gas, change hand the cable, change gear, grab the steering, and we did that for about half an hour to get home. And for them, that was like joy. It was so amazing. It was just so amazing to see that they take God's word literal, and that for them, as much as they have nothing, they have everything. One of the ladies that gave her life to Jesus, we prayed for, and Michelle visited her. And what Jason spoke about, they call it Santeria. When she gave up her idols, all hell broke loose in her life, in Cuba, and in the church. But God gave her the breakthrough, and she decided to give everything to him.
Amen. We have only a few minutes. Mantilla group hasn't spoken, right? Okay, can you pass the microphone? Huh? Well, of course, number four and number five. Can you pass the microphone that way? Mantilla group, number four.
All right. Well, I'll try to keep this short, but I get excited when I talk about God's word, so you're going to have to excuse me. Spring break, usually we think about spring break. We're going to get a lot of sleep. We didn't get a lot of sleep. At Mantilla Church, the members, 20, 30 members, would get up 6 o'clock in the morning to pray. Amen. And if I've learned anything on this trip, is about the power of prayer. It's because of those prayers that, despite the fact that Ignacio was my translator, we were preaching, by Wednesday, I didn't have to make an appeal. People were already coming forward to the altar, crying and ready to give their lives to Christ. I'm like, what is going on? This is breaking all the rules. You got to wait. No, God called them and they responded. And I want to share just a quick story about how we were walking home after prayer meeting and we were tired. And this one lady came up to Eli and Ignacio said, excuse me, are you Christian? And I said, yes. And long story short, she went to our meetings. And after one of our meetings, she said, this was exactly what I was looking for. Not by anything that we did. We just came to serve, but God already prepared the way. The Bible says, not by power, not by might, not by seminary education, but by my spirit. And another thing, Satan tried to turn off the light at my church, but Satan can't turn out the light of Jesus Christ. And when we lift up Christ, the Bible promises that he will draw all men to him. Amen. So we are very humble and privileged to serve in Cuba.
Amen. Thank you so much. Number five.
Repeat after me. ¿Cómo se dice? That was my line for like an entire week. I habla no español. So I want to tell you about Cuba and the gift of tongues. I wish I could tell you about praying with people who speak only Spanish and you speak only English, but at the end, they're crying and you're crying because through the interpreter, they've realized you've prayed exactly about their situation. I wish I could tell you about a baptismal pool that the night before had been filled. The morning that we got there was empty, and somehow between Sabbath school and the two pastors preaching, buckets and buckets and buckets of water are flowing. But somehow the pool was more full than there were buckets. I wish I could tell you about the many lives that were touched, about little girls like Dianyalis and Demelis who told us, you know what, my father used to tell me I was no good, but today I'm giving my life to God and I'm in the baptismal pool. I wish I could tell you about little girls that walked in with boots up to here and skirts up to here and halter tops up to here who thought their lives meant nothing, but after they met a bunch of broken students from Andrew said, all of a sudden I have dreams and hopes. I wish I could tell you about all of it. I wish we could take you, have taken you to Cuba with us. I wish we could have told you about the Bible workers who walked for hours in the hot, hot sun, touched lives for 20 minutes, and next thing you know, they were in the pool. I wish I could tell you about appeals where people came by droves, children, babies by the hundreds, and gave their lives to Christ. Amen. I wish I could tell you about a preacher, a young woman, who came to Cuba with no preconceived notion. But on the day of baptism, the pastor said, you know what? You preached, you get in the pool.
Yes, sir.
The first female to baptize in Cuba was from Andrews.
Amen.
In Cuba, they don't worry so much about some of the things we argue about. Should women preach or teach?
Yes.
Should children give their lives to Jesus or not? I wish I could tell you about people who had nothing. Not even two squares of toilet paper. No toilet seat on their seats. No juice in the fridge. Nothing in the freezer's reserves. But then saw us and said, really, when you leave, don't give us any money. Just promise us one thing.
Yes.
We have nothing. But when you leave, promise us you won't forget us.
Word.
And that's what we want to leave you with. Cuba changed our lives forever.
Yes.
And we would be doing a disservice if we didn't share that with you. But just don't forget. Let this not just be a missional trip. This was not an adventure. It wasn't a trip. May it be a lifestyle. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. We have only 1 minute and we need to go, but Dr. Peno, by the way, it was a blessing to have Dr. Peno with me. Can you tell us about the bicycles? What in the world happened with those bicycles? Tell us a little bit about the environment that last day when we gave away 56 bicycles.
Well, first, it was a trip just to try to buy the bicycles because the government's not happy about large sales of bicycles. It took, 3 days and probably 20 bicycle shops, but the Lord provided. And we ended up buying 56 bicycles that we gave to the pastors, the Bible workers, and the fourth-year seminary students who are about to graduate. And to put this in a context, a pastor makes $20 a month. These bicycles cost anywhere from $150 to $220. So the chance of them ever being able to buy one on their own was almost nil. And we have revolutionized their ministries and the joy, and they just thank the people for giving us these bicycles. Before I pray, I have to say one thing. Dean 14, I have never been prouder of seminary students than I was during that week in Cuba. The preaching, the teaching, the visiting, the ministering that was done by this group of 25, I would put up against anybody. I wish conference presidents had been there to watch. They'd have hired these guys on the spot. The preaching, it was powerful. Jesse and Alex and Omar and Lindsay and who am I forgetting? Iver. John, the Holy Spirit used them in powerful ways in the visitation, all of them. I tell you, they are humble, and I'm glad they are. But God has gifted these men and women for ministry. And if there's any doubt in anybody's mind, I can testify, God has called them to ministry. And we as a seminary can be proud.
Most of us think of spring break as a time to relax, as a time just to do nothing, to sleep more. And I'm so proud of our colleagues and students here who took the spring break and did such a great work for the Lord. I'm really blessed this morning for having been here and listened to their testimonies. As a token of appreciation, the students would like to give you, Dr. Ortiz,
yes,
and Glenda, a bicycle.
Amen.
I think this whole Cuba trip is symbolized by the bicycle. And I think Cecile says it well, is that the experience is a lifestyle change, much more than just an experience. It is about